Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1174. This is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, ready for a couple of vacation days here, approaching soon. So looking forward to that. Other than that, boy, it was a another quiet weekend, wrestling wise here. No pay-per-views, no special TV events, no special YouTube events, just the normal stuff, Christopher. And boy, they delivered us normal this week.
Oh yes, very normal. Nothing too excited going on right now. I mean, I don't. It was very me. I mean, I guess if you want to argue it, you could say that SmackDown was the more newsworthy show.
The opening segment did lock down one of the few questions that could have been out there, honestly, especially even in the opening segment.
And they did it in probably the least exciting way humanly possible. I mean, just CM Punk comes out for his victory celebration. Red All's off up says he's gonna be a fighting champion just as he was on Raw. Red All's off a bunch of names, include some names on that list that I'm are a little questionable to me. But the key point the but the key point is the one name he left off the list is the one guy who came out to confront him. And of course, Punk hits his sly smile like he intend like that's what he intended the entire time by not mentioning him.
And I mean, I even feel like he at least made a backhanded comment, like, of course, when I don't mention Cody Rhodes, that he comes out or something, like, I felt like he said something under his breath about
Yeah.
it, so.
So they speak to each other and they just, I mean, it really is just a you want a match? Sure. Situation. And the crowd went mild. I know crowds are trained in these situations to only get to jump out of their chairs when the match is right going to be right there in front of them that night. But this was less than that. This was just and there weren't audible groans, but it just there was a lack of interest in this as a SummerSlam main event, it seemed.
It's an even weirder dynamic than what is going over on Raw.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird dynamic because it is so they are so respectful of each other, they're so friendly. Yeah, I mean, all this
Yeah,
babyface
like.
versus babyface stuff, it is, it's having an, I think it's having a negative effect, I think. I think we're starting to
Oh.
see that, crowds don't know what to do. They get, bored at certain points. They don't know who to cheer for. They'll get bored if they're just being, oh man, you're great. Oh man, you're great. Aren't you so great? Are we both so great? And then they don't know how to react if they're just being complete dicks to each other, which is what Chris we have on the other show. It's just
It's they have polar opposite, well, maybe not polar opposite problems, but very different problems in presentation here because, like, it is entirely too chummy with Cody and CM Punk.
yeah, and I'm sure we're gonna get some tension. Obviously, they're being forced into a tag match on Saturday's main event, so we'll get
Oh.
maybe get some miscommunication and some pushing and some shoving and the kind of booking 101 stuff there. But yeah, this the whole babyface versus babyface dynamic that has dominated WWE TV for a very and the big shows in particular for a pretty long time now. It's definitely having an effect. I've been ringing the alarm bell for years about the lack of strong heels in this company, and that's all coming home to roost. And that's all now piling on top of the problem that we have that I think is another part of the problem with crowd reaction to some of this stuff as well, and also SummerSlam ticket sales, is we've reached a point where people are getting tired of the same four people on top.
That has definitely hurt. I mean, I feel like we've talked about we talked about the whole 90s thing last week or the week before, and that just goes to the same people being there. You know, like I you could possibly separate those issues, but I do think that it does speak to like the non-freshness of everyone involved there.
Yeah, bear that with us.
So
And that promo 2 weeks ago where Seth Rollins called him and Roman Reigns old. Whoever came up with that idea should be fired, because I think it has triggers. It's a different feel over the last couple of weeks. Like that woke some people up who didn't really realize just how long these people have been around, and
And
how many how in which times, even just in recent times, how many main events they've had, and how much was with each other, and or in some capacity. Yeah, it's a lot, and I think they again that Rollins promo where they talk about their age was a huge mistake, and then that gets piled onto Punk winning the title, and then now we got Punk and Cody's along with Roman and Seth as your main events. It's kind of a perfect storm of people thinking, man, I could go for something new right now.
It's so easy to even look just not in the distant past here, and it's just like, oof, just looking at Braun Breaker getting sacrificed to have this Seth Rollins
Yes, and that's something we'll definitely talk about more later. Yeah.
Roman Reigns match, just in and of itself, as far as like super recent examples go,
Yeah.
because the oh, and even you could even say that Paul Heyman pointed this out too, on Raw on Monday when he was talking about Obafemi not going for his championship shot and instead going after Brock Lesnar. Now, of course,
Yeah,
there
that
are
was
things to
another
break down
one.
about the promo too that you can punch holes in, but
That is something. That's one of those too close to home things that you probably shouldn't even bring up anymore. Like the whole King of the Ring thing, and what Oba's giving up to have a Hell in a Cell match with Brock Lesnar instead. Yeah, it's a big hole. And the best thing to do is just to stop bringing it up.
Well, I think it's kind of silly just because at least that day that he said he wanted the match, he still had a championship opportunity at a later date.
I think that's what it's going to be, but then again, he might still have to win the Royal Rumble. We don't know. I mean, and it just passes.
There's not a whole lot of time between here and there if you don't pull the trigger when you intend to. But again, just kind of speaks to n as much as Brock Lesnar and Obafemi 3, especially in Hell in a Cell, is an attraction match.
It absolutely is.
It's also in a lot of ways keeping him out of the Oba, out
And
of the main event scene that we're talking about.
that's the entire point of it. Yes, that is the point. It's keeping Oba away from not just a championship, I mean, not just Roman Reigns, but away from being any kind of world champion before WrestleMania. And in the meantime, they're gonna have to fill his time too, because I imagine after SummerSlam, Brock's taking his 3 to 5 month break, or whatever it is between now and either November if they put him on Survivor Series, or January if he or January if it's not until the Royal Rumble. They're gonna have to start programming Oba with people who are viable against him, and that's become a very difficult road to travel down. And we've already seen like Oba have to do a maybe not that long, but still a match that with Jey Uso where he had to sell for this
Oh.
smaller guy that's certainly not Brock Lesnar, and it definitely was
Yes.
not the kind of match people really want to see Obafemi in. There is some Goldberg and Ultimate Warrior, elements to there's that's
Yes.
exactly the templates we're following here. And yes, the best, certainly the best workers got we're able to get a lot out of Warrior. Your Savages, your Broods, your DiBiase's, Perfects, those
Oh,
guys, and
right.
but your supposedly great workers though weren't able to get that much out of Goldberg though, as Bret Hart could attest.
Yeah, he might have
But
said something once or twice.
yeah, I mean, wait, just a couple times. He's over it now. And that, but I mean, we've seen Oba. I mean, we're kind of reinventing Oba here. We're not bringing up that he ever, had longest matches with Javon Evans where he sold for him,
Oh yeah, because even those they did a good job of keeping those matches not squash matches. But they did use Javon's mobility to
Yeah, they did. I mean, yeah,
keep.
and everyone was able to have, like, everyone was able to have, more than competent matches that went a length of time in NXT. I mean, we're on the main roster, we are going for the unstoppable force here.
Oh,
Other
yes.
than that one loss, of course. But yeah, and again, Owen Brock and Hell in a Cell. I mean, who doesn't want to see that? Right now, looking like. Less like it's gonna close and more like it will, if not open, be earlier in the sh earlier in either night is that, because it does seem like the two championship matches are gonna close each night now.
No. Yeah, I mean, those are some big names.
I mean, they are the big
You
names.
know,
You can't
we can.
argue that. Yes, they are the big
Yeah, well,
names. Yeah.
yeah, like it's obviously like it's a valid complaint that we're talking about, but you can also recognize that it is not going to change.
I
It's
mean,
in this very short
it's
term.
the match, it's one match we haven't been seen before in this context, at least. I mean, obviously, some match from Raw from 2015 doesn't matter or whatever. Entire case of Cody and Cody, no, 2012 or 13, whatever, 12 or 13, between Cody and Punk, and then Rollins and Reigns. It's of
Oh.
course the end of a. We're close. We're quote unquote closing the book on a nearly 15-year story, which not many opportunities to be able to say that you've done that you're doing that.
No, that's that one is still pretty wild. It's now been pretty much a decade and a half off of the Shield.
Yeah,
That
they got so much out of those guys. I mean, where would wrestling in the 2010s have even been without those three guys?
Oh.
Whether they were together or apart or feuding team, they carried that decade. Especially when Cena was waning, and Brock was
Oh.
very very part time.
Yeah, it's always kind of funny when these guys get older and they get less part-time in a way. Because I feel like Brock's absences aren't quite as long sometimes, you know.
No, they haven't been too much. Yeah, there haven't been
So,
that bit of distance.
maybe I'm just used to the cadence now. It feels
Yeah.
different. But oh yeah, and this all sprung off of Cody and CM Punk not being all that interesting of a main event, and we're talking about it finishing one. I would imagine the
It is.
first night.
I mean, yeah, I think it'll still be the first night. I think Roman Reigns has earned that position to to close, the second night. It does still feel like his match with Rollins has more, certainly has more heat and has the the better story and the better, yeah, that's just where we're at now. The formerly secondary title is now on Roman Reigns, so now it becomes the primary title. That's the power of Roman Reigns.
And I guess we may as well talk about that segment now too. I mean, we're kind of talking
Why
about the
not?
possible main events of SummerSlam here. So, I guess another solid segment doing what they could to further the storyline here. There's not a whole lot fresh that we can really cover,
No, I mean
or
they did a good
they can
job.
really cover, I should
I mean,
say.
this was, primarily Roman Reigns's, forum to get under Seth's skin. He got off some good lines, for sure. And things do end up getting physical and ending with Seth Rollins, on top, hitting Roman Reigns with a stomp, and no one went through the table. The biggest shocker of all.
Yeah, there was a lot of carnage, but no one went through the table. That turned into a very typical signing at any WWE wrestling event where things go sideways. I continue to wonder about Seth Rollins' choice to wear a brown jacket with an entirely black outfit. It's something. I'm not quite sure. I'm completely
As a
there. I
Seth
don't think
Rollins outfit, that didn't even register with me. No,
it's not terrible,
no.
but I don't know. It's kind of interesting. It's really, really highlights the jacket. And yeah, this was more the promo was more geared for Roman Reigns than it was for Seth on the night. And
And
that'll happen, you know.
not sure what to make about Roman getting no help from the Bloodline. Where did they go? They were on the show earlier. We didn't see them leave. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they be running out there?
And it has been made very clear, at a minimum, Jacob Fatu is very directed by the OTC. It would seem to be to me that you would help a brother out when he's getting beat down. You know, at a minimum, like even if you're not trying to necessarily harm Seth Rollins for the match at SummerSlam, you should at least save your boy.
Definitely. Always got to save your boy.
So yeah, that is going to be the bigger question. It'll be interesting to see if there's any fallout. They should not have been too occupied. And I guess it's something else we could talk about on Raw, should we want, which also has some connections to SmackDown here. Well, yeah, I guess we could talk about the events on SmackDown there with Solo Sikoa was mainly the center of the well, him and Royce Keyes, I should say.
Let's talk about this. Oh boy, does no one care about this stuff? This is bad. This is arguably the worst stuff in wrestling, and at least in WWE, right? I mean, roster WWE right now. I'm not saying it's worse than anything anyone else. Certainly not worse than anything in NXT, or maybe not worse than the worst of AEW storylines, but maybe not. But this, like. I don't know what they're, but at least with some things I understand what they're thinking. With this, it's just like no one was asking for Solo Sikoa to be a baby face. No one was at, they've done nothing to make anyone really care about Royce Keyes.
No, we've talked about it. It's one of those classic sob stories that is just not resonating with the wrestling crowd. And even to be fair, they tried it in AEW and it didn't work there either.
No, people don't. They want to care about you. They want to see you kick ass first, and then maybe we can learn more about you. And especially as you're moving up the ranks, and oh my God, why does this title match mean so much to you? And you can do that at that point, but we skipped the kicking ass part and just went right to the sob story. And he hasn't really been that impressive. There are. For a guy who used to call himself Powerhouse, he has not been hitting these dynamic power moves and throwing people around. He's not Obafemi. He's not even Bron Breakker. He's not any number of these guys. He's been pretty basic, and they've put him against other bigger guys too. So he's not going to be maybe necessarily throwing, he's not going to be throwing Tala Tonga around necessarily.
Yeah. He's been tasked with a bit taller order, just both physically, well, yeah, just physically, I feel like, than some of the other guys. And yeah, they haven't put him in a great position to succeed because of that, you know? Because they put
Just
him in there with other big guys, like he doesn't look as dominant, and you're getting more of a 50-50 matchup.
right, and that's what we got on SmackDown, and then on Raw again, with him and Jimmy Uso, or I like Jig Jim, but again, you're not necessarily going to get the most dynamic singles match out of him all the time, and again, people voice keys isn't over, so we get this
Oh.
scenario, we get a kind of a really blah match, Solo and Jacob get involved. And again, Solo is nearly crushed by Jacob Fatu, and again, we're supposed to care for some reason.
Yeah, we're supposed to care about the guy that's been a jerk and actually somewhat maintained his heel status, honestly, in Solo Sikoa.
He's never really turned. No one was asking for him to be part of this at all. It reeks of nepotism as much as anything we've seen in wrestling in a pretty long time, that we've tried to reinsert Solo into, semi-top level stuff, and it's just like no one wants this. Which then
Yeah, and then that's the other kind of funny thing. The times that they have tried to force new people into the main event scene, it hasn't worked. See Solo Sikoa.
Yes, I mean, I think he was effective as anyone could be 2 years ago, though. I think he,
Oh, yes.
they really built the main storyline around him for most of the year, and post, Cody beating Roman and the whole bloodline thing, and no, his I don't necessarily think his SummerSlam main event with Cody was the most exciting thing on Earth or anything. But and then the stuff with Roman and the bloodline, even though that was all fine and good, and got a War Games out of it, and a
Oh,
little and did a
yeah.
little more, but he just reeks of a guy who's had his run and it's over.
Oh, yeah.
And
And
then
that
in a
was
different business, he would have gone elsewhere. There would have been other places for him to go. Your run as the top heel in the territory is over, pal. It's time to go.
it's and they haven't been able to it's just funny to me that they haven't been able to find a spot for him either. Like they never really moved him down, even though did he win the U.S. championship from
Yes, he
Jacob
did. He did
Fatu?
win it from Jacob. Yes, that was a terrible mistake that they're that in many ways they're still paying for, because Jacob's still not as over as he was as a heel back then. Really?
So much wrong in such a short time period.
It's so much wrong. And then we fast forward to Raw. We get this cold ass Royce Keyes Jimmy Uso match again. Then leading to Jacob and finally
And
Jacob
because
is.
hold on, was the one on Raw the one that they like joined in Progress, or was that
Yes, they joined it in
SmackDown?
progress. Yes, no, the Raw was about to, they joined it in progress. Yes, like what the hell is Jimmy
Okay.
Uso doing here? What the hell is Royce Keyes doing here? Like we had no setup to this at all. Interesting way to do it. I know that on Netflix International you get to watch everything commercial free. So it's, I guess it's a little nod to, those people watching. Like, fine, you can do that every once in a while. But yeah, it was a very, very jarring thing. And then of course the match doubles in. It's not interesting. Yeah, we're finally getting Jacob willing to attack Royce Keyes. Was that because Royce Keyes is the other part of this whole thing? Because we're being told that he has this history with the bloodline that we have no evidence of. They have no evidence of existing.
Yeah, and they're doing a better job than the AEW announcers would do.
Yes, they are.
It's still though, like similar to what you were talking about earlier, like we needed more track record of that before this became a thing.
Yeah.
I feel like they interacted a little bit backstage before Jacob went under the OTC's obedience.
Yeah.
But it's still like, yeah, it wasn't enough, and they didn't sell it enough
No, they have that. No.
for anyone to really invest in that angle of things.
Yes. So that leads to when this thing breaks down to a four-way to a four-man brawl, you could hear a pin drop until LA Knight's music hit. The only person over on the other on the other team at all, and you could really start seeing that, Jacob and Jimmy really aren't over either. So it's going to take Jay to get the crowd going on that side.
Yeah, they really need the Yeet Man around. He has really made himself a star.
Yeah, apparently dealing with a divorce is. I guess that's taking him out of work for a couple of weeks.
That was something. I suppose I did read a little bit about that, and it's just like, oh, well, you know. Let's just say divorces aren't fun.
Yeah, no. And we found out about another one that had happened a while back today. Meechin and Keith Lee apparently got divorced about a year ago. Because she was asked about him, and she said that they've been divorced for a year,
Oh.
which then led to a bunch of people talking that he hasn't wrestled in AEW in nearly 3 years. He hasn't wrestled a match in nearly 3 years, and that the belief is that his career is over now. Because the subject even came up, yeah, after the divorce stuff.
It felt like it was getting to that point, honestly, that
Yeah,
he was not
definitely
going to be
not.
back.
Guy was definitely not in good health. That's a aside. That was that's a transition from talking about someone getting divorced. But back to Monday, back to WWE business. Ellen, the only over person in this whole deal, LA Knight, has to get on the microphone and try to get people to react to the idea of a six-man tag at SummerSlam. He did as good a job as anyone possibly could for a match that really does not feel like it's going to be a big damn deal.
No, there is not a lot intriguing about that matchup,
No, it's
honestly.
depending on its
So,
placement on the card, it could very well be let's get your the get yourself a snack, go to the bathroom match.
yeah, good thing I'm not going to be at the Viking ship. I am a little disappointed by that also, because I want to see the giant Viking ship in person,
It's
because
impressive. I've been to a Vikings game before.
that's a pretty cool design. That is definitely going to be one of the least important matches, no matter which
Yeah.
night it is on.
Yeah. Very, very much so. Yeah. All the, yeah. The bloodline stuff going on beneath Roman Reigns is just some of the worst, most nonsensical and boring stuff going on in wrestling. It really is amazing how it just checks every negative box that you don't want to check.
I think we got the main event scene covered here. So I suppose we move on to the next thing, and we can use Meechan
Well, yes.
as the pivot point here. She joined B-Fab in Jade Cargill because Jade was taking on Alexa Bliss with Charlotte Flair at ringside, and well, it looked like Alexa Bliss did that usual arm
Yes.
thing, and then she showed a post on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, maybe that's real this
Yeah,
time around.
and she had an Instagram story today with her arm in a brace. So I don't know if it's all work or, I mean, it did look like, even though obviously that's her part, her party trick or however, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Yes, we
It
have
did look
definitely
like
seen this
Jade
on
slammed.
WWE TV.
It did look like Jade slammed her arm down pretty fucking hard. Like. And Jade's already been having issues with, supposedly in the locker room and maybe hurting, not the first time she's hurt. So if this is, that's a pretty serious one. If she didn't take care of Alexa with, using a weapon like that. And I'm not, again, I don't totally know everything. Maybe Alexa's just playing a Seth Rollins thing herself,
Oh.
taking some already planned time off and, using your party trick to an audience that it's been a long time. A
Oh my
number of people
God.
may have never seen it before or forgot.
Yeah, it's again, like we've over the years talked about her having the most interesting WWE career, where she missed like 4 years after the pregnancy or something, and then
Yeah, I mean now
come
it's
back,
I mean
but.
now I think now it's built in, it's understood,
Oh, yeah.
she spends time with her kids, she tours, she goes with her husband to concerts, whatever, so it's, well, good for her. She's earned whatever that is, and I hope that it something seriously bad didn't happen, because that's not good for
Oh.
her, and it definitely for like badly on Jade Cargill to if she just, whack, someone's arm in a chair like that.
Oh. Yeah, really should have been a little more careful
Yeah, and that's it.
there.
Again, that's after the whole thing isn't a complete work, but again, this designed to build heat on for Charlotte Flair and Jade Cargill. I imagine very imminently we're going to get that match announcement for SummerSlam.
Oh.
It's one of those Jade Cargill matches that would be on the list, of visually
Oh.
impressive to watch, them face off. Not to say that they're running through
Yeah,
those, seemingly.
I feel like this would be one of those moments that AEW would throw out the dream match. And I feel like maybe this is the closest thing that WWE has to that type of thing. Because they've been eyeballing this matchup before Jade Cargill got in the ring in the WWE, you know? I mean,
Yeah,
they
they
had a
had it, yeah.
couple of backstage, I don't know if I want to call them run-ins, but they definitely glared at each other on a handful of occasions in the past, including before Jade officially signed on TV. So. You know, it's kind of been something that's been out in the ether there for a while. And yeah, the WWE's waited this long to pull the trigger on it. And yeah, it's going to be one of those rare women's matches that makes it to a PLE that does not have a championship involved.
No, I mean, it's essentially taking the place of Rhea Ripley title defense, even if they were already starting the build to this match before Rhea got hurt. And Rhea was, otherwise going to be on this show. But it's good. But it's great. It's now really, really great to have this match on the show, because, I mean, it's been able to probably take maybe more time, take more time on SmackDown, and it'll get, a really, really, prime position at SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, that's mum has been the word on that that whole Rhea Ripley situation. That's been
Yeah.
they have really
And
kept that one in
I'm not thinking
now.
it's sound. I'm not thinking it's really sounding that good. Yeah.
Yeah,
Mummy's usually not good.
the longer you stay quiet, the more I think that it's worse than it might be. I continue to be amazed. Lil Yachty has just copious amounts of free time, evidently.
He does.
This is quite a run that he's been on here.
He is definitely he's just part of the show. Yeah. He's just baked in. He's there every week. Yes.
Trick Williams ends up having a match with Carmelo Hayes, non-title. Yeah, it interestingly enough ends
Yes.
with Baron Corbin attacking Carmelo Hayes.
Well, he was more attacking Trick,
Or did he
I
attack
think.
Trick?
Yeah, he attacked Trick. I mean, he interrupted the match. I mean,
Corbin popped up and grabbed Hayes and pulled him from the top rope. Is what the review is saying here.
well, yeah, well, he did that. And then he attacked Trick.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
end of days for everybody.
And the end of the days without Baron Corbin in WWE. It's wow. I mean, this is a. I don't know if you're familiar with some of these stories of like when a wrestling promotion starts trying to run on the cheap, they bring back old talent who would be willing to work cheap. Like if Corbin's willing to work cheaper than Sheamus, you plug Corbin into a spot like that. That might be
That is a
a
very
lot.
good one for one swap right
It's
there.
probably not really necessarily. Because we're getting Corbin in his, wannabe biker form or whatever you want to call it. The guy who never got over, really. Or to the level of his push. The guy never got over to the level of his push.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting because I f do feel like the crowd reacted to it.
Well, it was definitely a shock. Definitely no one expected this. I mean, even if you heard the rumors that he could be coming back, you don't expect him to be involved, just be immediately be put involved into a title situation.
Yeah, that part was definitely a bit of a surprise that who he attacked and yeah, who he's going after right off the bat.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, it makes sense, to go back to your Sheamus equivalent. I give Trick Williams. I mean, Trick Williams has been in the land of the no offense because they're all my height. But that's the problem is that he's fighting a bunch of people that are my height.
I think you're selling yourself short. I think they're closer to my height.
But yeah, he's fighting guys that are like 5'9", and he's what, 6'5" or something like
Yes.
that.
And that's the point
And
I tried to make in our group chat when Jeremy was very upset by all this. I'm like, at least, because there's two things here. We've got this basically this uncompleted Trick Williams face turn. That's been going on since WrestleMania, because he's still, being his, arrogant self, and Yachty can be obnoxious, and he's, Carmelo's definitely a baby face, for sure.
Yes. They turned him babyface and he's stayed that way ever
Right.
since the whole
So,
Dragunov defending the US Championship
yeah.
situation.
So, it allows Trick to finally just be a baby face against just. The one positive of Corbin you could always say, other than during the broke Corbin phase, he was always committed to just being a heel. There was not a single likable quality about him. He was just a heel. And we're
Oh.
missing, we are missing that right now. Yeah, as I keep ringing the bell on this.
And you're right. That is one of those things that Baron Corbin is good at. It is being a heel. Like he had decent runs as bum ass Corbin, is a baby face. And I even think that and maybe it's just because it was in NXT that it was working well. But the stuff at his end run in NXT was getting him some baby face
Yeah.
reactions. But he does work better as a heel, and he's yeah, it's one of those. You also know that he's being brought in to fry loose to Trick Williams, and
Yeah.
this is going to be like a one return kind of gimmick here.
Yeah, he's gonna
If
settle into putting people over, it seems. Yes. And it was
yeah.
and yeah, okay, so he's a heel when Trick just needs to finally just complete this face turn. And
Oh.
two, as I mentioned, and I think Trick needs to fight someone his own size. As we're saying, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's there are just not a lot of people in that Sheamus, Baron Corbin kind of territory, size-wise, that you can just throw out there. You know, like most of the people are kind of killers that they've been trying to sell. You know, you can't be throwing them out there with Jacob Fatu or Oba or someone like that, you know.
I mean, all this said, if they put this match on SummerSlam, not exactly a match I'm going to look forward to. I don't think it's going to be a good match. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to sell me on in that match. Like you said, it'll give Trick a true heel to work against. That's about going to be the only thing. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe it'll be a decent match. Maybe it won't. But yeah, well, I suppose we'll find out later here. So, I guess we get to close up SmackDown here now, since we've
Yes.
kind of done a little bit of a hodgepodge
Yeah.
with the main event scene there. But this one's pretty straight and to the point. It would really seem that we are building towards a Nick Aldis versus Gunther match here. Like, I
Yes,
feel
that's
like we are really locked in on that at this point.
we are locked in now. Yes. Yes, Gunther had demanded that Aldis put him in the championship match at SummerSlam. We all know that wasn't going to happen, at least in the under those terms. So Aldis
No.
decides that he's going to give him Cody and Punk in a tag match where Gunther has a team with Sami Zayn as the headliner of Saturday night's main event. Gunther, of course, not happy with this, finally just completely loses it and just beats the hell out of Aldis. Puts him in the sleeper multiple times. They keep pulling him off. He keeps putting it on. Again, this was a very intense, segment that they did a good job with this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gunther,
I
also
mean,
one of the few heels in the company.
yes, Gunther is the only real he yeah, the only real bad guy. Yeah. That's the shirt he should be wearing.
No. He is not allowed to wear that because then he's going to become popular.
No, of course, yeah. So yeah, we are well on our way to getting to getting that as a match at SummerSlam, and it will. Again, I was a little negative on the idea because it's just like, I mean,
Well,
all this was just never
I'm not.
special, but this could, the way that they could play this, it could be a very good match. And I'm sure Aldis wants. I mean, he just did a. I don't know. It was Chris Van Vliet. It was one of those types of interview shows where he was asked if you never wrestle again, are you happy with your career? And he flat out answered no. No, he wants to wrestle in WWE. He doesn't
Oh.
consider his career complete unless he at least has a match in WWE. Maybe multiple matches if it's because I don't because I don't think it, because I don't because becoming an just a non-wrestling on-screen character was I don't think it was ever really his choice. I mean, it was his choice ultimately. I mean, to take the role, to take a a good paying role, at that point in his
Oh,
life.
well, and he could be falling into that category of someone else maybe leaving and he's replacing them as a competent equal. I'm not sure who that is necessarily, but Nick Aldis has plenty of in-ring experience.
He does have plenty of in-ring experience. He's
And he is
technically a good. Was always technically a good wrestler,
And he was still younger than some of the main event guys. I believe when I looked up his age last week, he was only 39, so.
Yeah, there's some main eventers. I'm sure, but because Gunther's also not exactly the spring chicken of a lifetime either here.
No, he is.
I'm sure they crossed paths many times and. They would have probably crossed paths many times in Europe earlier in their careers.
Oh. Yeah, that's the real possibility. And I guess it will be interesting. I think that's maybe the main question coming out of it is if Aldis ends up staying a wrestler or just going back to the GM role and that's that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we shall see. I mean, I don't think he's winning this match.
Oh no. No, was not even close to arguing
All
that.
right.
Oh man. So moving on over to Raw here, non-main event things. We talked about it a little bit on the side here, but the main topic of Brock Lesnar versus Obafemi, I suppose could have well yeah needs to be gone over a little bit more here, and that's what started us off on Raw here. Paul Heyman definitely aligned with Mr. Lesnar. We can talk about his other alignments later in the show here.
Yeah, yes, Paul is fully invested with Brock Lesnar. We get kind of this, well, I was gonna say we get the standard promo, but we get the pushing the button hard on this Obafemi is stupid thing. And then we do get
No.
these rent-a-cops at ringside basically. It's
No.
kind of, it's a it's it's a it's a trope, we've got a restraining order and these cops are gonna arrest you and Oba just comes out.
Yep.
Beats the hell out of these cops to the point where it's like we have to point out later that the restraining order was phony, the cops were phony. Noah was not going to jail for assaulting six police officers or whatever it was. He gets a hard time for that. We almost had to close that loop.
I was gonna say it's nice of them to wrap things up with a nice little bow there.
At least they did that much.
Oh man. But it was a pretty paint by numbers kind of segment.
Yes, paint by numbers. Yeah, just pulling out an old trope. Yeah, type stuff. Yeah.
Good effective things going on there. I am starting to get the feeling, Chris, that one Io Sky is not going to get the is it the WWE Women's Championship from Liv Morgan?
I think it's the Women's
Yeah.
World Championship.
Okay, well, the Women's World
Technically.
Championship.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it is the Women's World Championship. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Again, they're doing some, booking 101 type stuff here. She's, Io's wrestling the underbosses. She's,
Oh.
getting wins over them, but they also keep. Jumping her, they keep attacking her, trying to take her out at the knees, or I should say the one knee,
Yeah.
and she does does finally get some help this week in the form of Sol Ruka, but she ends up overwhelmed as well, and Overwhelmed is an understatement, because oh boy was, and then another situation where someone was not gentle at all.
That looked pretty rough, what Raquel did to
Yeah, the power
Cole
bomb into the
there.
ring post. Yeah, it was a little brutal. Followed up by the belt shot of all belt shots. Liv Morgan waylaid Io Sky with that belt, and you could see the, you know, the a scar almost immediately. You could see the scar immediately from it. I don't know if you noticed that. It's just, it was
No, I
immediate.
did not.
No, it was pretty immediate. She clocked her
Okay.
with that belt right in the
Oof.
forehead.
Oof. Well, there's the at least saying for guys that chicks dig scars.
Yeah.
Do other wrestlers dig scars? Is that the men dig scars also? Because
Yeah.
Naraku is definitely going to be looking at that thing for a little bit of time here.
Oh yeah,
But solid attack there and solid
Solid,
movement
yes.
on that storyline there.
Yeah, so I mean, again, Liv Morgan and Io Sky, it's a match we've seen before. I mean, and not just and not just at, you know, Night of Champions. They've faced each other before. It's, yeah, they're doing what they can. They did really, you know, pour the heat on it. And it's mostly working.
And then to get to the vision.
Yes. This is there's a lot. Again, you know, we get into from the main stuff to the underneath bloodline stuff, and now this division stuff right now. Like, I'm not hating it, but it is, they are all being downgraded, especially Bron Breakker, for sure. Well, maybe Austin Theory may be the only one benefiting from this. From what's going on
Austin
with them.
Theory definitely is benefiting from this. I
Yes, I
don't
mean,
know
because
how he has kind of become the leader because he got a girlfriend on screen.
yeah, and I guess she's become the leader now. You know, we'll get to that, but it's like, yeah, again, if they can do the sexy evil couple thing that, you know, worked for Dom, certainly worked for Edge back in the day, like, I mean, it's probably the last time, the last ditch effort, and last thing they might attempt with them, but this seems like it might actually have the most potential to actually work for him as anything they've done.
Yeah, I honestly, because I had jumped in to Raw late and Netflix did not allow me to start from the beginning. I jumped in after this segment happened. So I only saw the Paul Heyman segment in the back later.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I did not have any context because they did not replay it at any juncture. Or if they did, they hadn't replayed it to that point. And after I watched this, I'm just like, yeah, you don't need him.
No, they really don't to do what they're doing now, but again, obviously, the biggest thing people are talking about is the cooling down, the downgrade for Bron Breakker. Absolutely. It is very apparent. I mean, he's feuding with Otis and Tozawa now for the tag team champion, or in a tag team title feud.
It is really wild that they're like, no, we don't even have room for you in the Intercontinental vicinity here right now, sir. So
Yeah.
you're getting thrown into the tag team.
Yeah. I mean, this segment deserves a little more, you know, analysis. I mean, it was effective at getting it was effective at getting Maxine again, because Bron Breakker is being thrown into a segment that with the point is to get Maxine Dupri over as a heel. This is where we're at now.
I think that in
Fantastic.
addition to them winning the tag team championships, that this kind of helps get their mojo back?
They did seem to get their mojo back. I mean, it was jarring at
You know, like it
because
did
Otis
get
has been.
Max.
Because, okay, so ahead, stop, sorry.
Well, it did get Maxine. You know, like the point was to get Maxine over. But I think that it ends up helping everyone by really establishing everyone as heels in the situation.
Yes.
Because I do
It
think
did help.
that if there's one thing about Bron Breakker is there is still a cool factor to him.
Yes, there was. Yes, there was. And yeah.
That he was getting a positive response. And if he's in on assaulting Otis and trying to murder Akira Tozawa with the spear
Twice. Well,
twice.
and that was before the suplex over the announce table to the floor. So yes.
Oh
Tozawa
my
got some frequent
God.
flyer miles, but I mean, it was jarring that because Otis and Tozawa, especially, have not been pushed in any way, shape, or form in a very, in a very long time, that
Yeah.
these, this. I guess just very recently seemingly like a top heel Bron Breakker is selling for them. Particularly, again, Otis was cleaning house until Maxine distracted him. He had that
Oh, yes.
situation well in hand of both with both of them.
With all three of them, honestly.
Well, Logan Paul, now Logan Paul's still not bumping.
Oh, yeah, I guess he's not bumping. Never mind. So, yeah, it was just the two of them. But still, like you said, he had the situation well in hand until Maxine Dupri did what she
Yes, that Jezebel,
did.
as Jim Ross would say, trying to use her feminine wiles to distract poor Otis and tease him, and until he was hit in the nuts, and then brass knuckles, spears. It's yeah, I mean, again, it was an effective beatdown of two very sympathetic figures. So it again, it
Oh,
worked in that regard. We get to the
yes.
backstage segment where Heyman's looks, he looks happy, he looks proud of them. And then he, kind of looks to Maxine Dupri and says, "What do you need me? What do you need to be me for anymore?" Yeah. So I mean, the vision is,
She did just fine out there or something to that effect. So yeah, like I mean, I even thought that that was kind of nice that Paul Heyman even gave her a bit of a nod of approval
I guess
on how she was handling things.
yeah. I mean. So this is the vision moving forward. Logan Paul is still months away from wrestling. Breaker and Theory are going to be a tag team. No idea when Bronson Reed's coming back or where he'll fit into anything. Paul Heyman is going to be exclusively with Brock, and then if what Heyman's going to do when Brock goes away, as I mentioned before, I don't know.
Paul's gonna take a break again. I mean,
I guess Paul can take a break. I mean,
he's been known to do that from time to time
he's
here.
been known to do that, but he's also, I think he's talked about he's had some issues, this some health issues or whatnot this year. It wasn't surprise me. He's a he's an overweight man who work who works himself up and stresses himself out quite a bit.
Yeah, I can see where there might be problems there myself. Very nice suit collection. That suit tailor though, they get a workout.
I'm sure they do.
Other segment that was on Raw, not covered yet. I do not know what the WWE really has in mind for this whole Bayley and Lyra Valkyria situation here.
That could be an interesting thing to follow. Because rumors are Bayley's contract is coming due soon, and her best friend in another company is more than throwing hints that they could be reunited in the not too distant future. And I know you don't follow everyone on social media, but Yeah, Mercedes is hitting it pretty hard. The idea of
Oh.
Pamela joining her.
She's definitely in the category of people that could move over and would probably benefit from it.
I think she could. I think that she's, again, we've talked about it quite a bit. She and you know what? Lyra used the word doormat.
Oh.
She's become a doormat the women's division over the last, especially definitely over the last 2 years. And again,
Yeah.
we talked about how she kind of does it to herself, always wanting to be, hey, gee golly, everybody, this is such a great locker room. I just want to help everybody. But it goes deeper than that too. She's never gotten the respect of her contemporaries.
No, and that was another part of Lyra's thing
Yes.
that
Yeah.
you
Yeah, that's
could
interesting that all those
pull
things
it.
were said. It's interesting that all those things were said out loud that, were our thought, but not typically said. That is an interesting
Yeah.
part.
Yeah, they're definitely it definitely felt like a very I feel like Jeremy brought this back, a very Vince kind of segment, very message sendy in that department.
Yeah, there's possibly some reality here of Bailey saying, maybe considering leaving, and them, I guess, essentially saying, okay, fine, which that hasn't been the case. I mean, WWE is now more than willing to let people who are on, probably fairly high dollar contracts, but maybe are arguably on the downside of their careers, go.
And I mean, I don't see a path for Bailey to change the narrative that Lyra talked about.
No, there isn't.
She's 'cause like even Charlotte Flair, like we kind of we were there at the zenith of the oh my gosh, rolling our eyes, she just came back again and won the Royal Rumble.
Yes, we were there, yes.
And ever since then we've had Image Rehab on Charlotte.
We have, and it's been a very successful image rehab. Dr. Alexa
And
Bliss is very good at that, apparently.
I don't, as much as I like Lyra, she's not gonna do that kind of doctor work for Bailey. And I don't, yeah, like
I
it just
don't think that's what
feels
she's
like.
there for. It seems like she's there to bury Bailey, essentially. It
Oh
did feel
yeah.
that way.
Yeah, and it was but I mean, I guess I'm trying to think of like they need to do that kind of redemption for Bailey, but she would also need to have like a serious title run to like even get close to Becky or Charlotte at this point. And in some ways you kind of forget that Mercedes was part of the Four Horsewomen just because she's been in AEW for so long. But still, she definitely achieved higher heights within WWE programming than Bailey ever did.
She did, yes, and it's just again, Bailey has had a again, Bailey. We've talked about before. Bailey's had this kind of like fascinating career of there. She's had more. She's got more than Natty. She's got she's a
Oh.
more well regarded, more well remembered than that for sure. But again,
Yes.
so many of her contemporaries have lapped her, and a number of newbies have leapfrogged her.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's her biggest problem too at this point. I mean, we've talked about NXT for years at this point being so stacked, and they're starting to call up a lot of those women, and there are other ones waiting in the wing, and it's just like, do you go with Bailey or do you take a chance on Blake Monroe, let's say, just to throw out a name there. Or do you take your chances with a JC Jane, which they clearly are. But it definitely would not surprise me, given that Sheamus was just let go, that if Bailey is in a similar contract situation, that the WWE is willing to walk away if she doesn't like the number.
Yeah, and it
Because I mean, I
I
would
wouldn't surprise if
imagine
she's
that
like,
they would still want to sign her, but I think it's a matter of what's that number look like, and what she feel like she's worth.
yeah, and then she's willing to go in reverse, further from Charlotte and Becky money. I don't if Tony Khan's willing to pay her, maybe what she's getting making now or whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
And she can hang out with her best friend again, and they could have, they could, restart their teaming, restart their feud. They could just, team feud for the, and it seems like
Yeah, and I
that probably would
mean,
make her happy, probably.
yeah, and AEW could still use another woman wrestler of that quality.
Absolutely could.
Like,
I
as
think it's.
much as they have improved more than any division, I think, in AEW over the years here now, the women's division still has that much more room to grow too, so.
It does. Yeah. No. I think it. At this point, I think it's a good move for everybody.
Yeah. Chewing up a whole lot of Raw,
Yes, it did.
the gauntlet match for a shot at the Intercontinental Championship. We end up with the order of Dominic Mysterio, Joe Hendry. Oh no, this is not the order. Yeah, it was Joe Hendry and Dominic Mysterio to start with.
Yes.
At least here. And Hendry ends up taking the L first. Javon Evans comes in, and they really give him a nice little bit of shine here before he eventually ends up. Did he pass out, or did he finally tap out to the accolade for like the third or fourth time?
Yeah, I think he passed
Oh
out to
yeah,
the accolade. Yeah, he passed out to
referee
the
called for the
accolade.
bell. So
Yeah,
yeah,
that was
he
after
passed out.
he'd
So.
he okay. Because we're skipping the Dominic Mysterio part, which was also the Danhausen angle. There
Oh,
was
I forgot about
so
the
much going on during this segment of the gauntlet that the camera missed things. Because like, there's stuff going on in the aisle with Danhausen and JD. You got Dom and
They
Javon in the
needed
ring.
to go split screen, and they did
Yes, they
not.
did. Because we did miss, while Javon was hitting his finish on Dom, we did miss Danhausen hitting apparently hitting JD in the groin with a t-shirt gun.
Yeah, that would be uncomfortable.
I bet it, yes, it would.
Even if you're wearing a cup and knew that that was coming, that is still gonna smart some. So kudos to JD, continues to just let himself be inflicted with bodily harm that no one should be inflicted with, and
Okay.
man continues to get a
Right.
solid
Yes.
paycheck.
So we got that story going. Yes. Yes,
Oh yeah.
Rusev, eliminates Evans. Then out comes Chad Gable, who defeats Rusev, but Rusev attacks Gable after the match, puts him in the accolades, leaving him wounded for his final match with Ethan Page. But Chad Gable overcomes and defeats Ethan Page, getting his hometown Intercontinental Championship match against Penta. Another babyface versus babyface match, but we'll ignore that right now because it should be an excellent match. There is the built-in story of Chad's
Oh.
redemption and how it all the whole El Gran Americano rant run Began with Penta, feuding with Penta. So yeah, there's a
Yeah, which
lot
they
here.
did, and to their credit, the announcers did bring that
They
aspect up. So I'd
brought that up.
imagine it
So
will
it's
get a little more play in the
yeah,
next 2 weeks
because
here.
this is a full. They're doing a real full circle deal, and considering where SummerSlam is, I imagine there's a very good chance, you know, Chad Gable is walking out with the Intercontinental title.
Yeah. Penta has definitely been another one where he has had an interesting run in the WWE. He
He's
has
been a good
been
IC champion.
very hot and cold with his pushes.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
he's been pretty hot for a while now. And again, so should definitely this should be a good deal. It surprised me a little bit because I thought with what happened earlier with Otis and Tozawa was going to lead to Gable and Otis reuniting to go for the tag belts. Because that would make more
Oh.
sense than and they would have a better chance that, you know, than Otis and Tozawa.
Yeah, they could have run with that angle should they have wanted to,
Yeah, but
but
no, but so much of Chad Gable's career for a couple of years now has revolved around not being able to attain the Intercontinental Championship. So for him to finally do it in front of his whole family in his hometown, you know what? It could be a really great moment to have at SummerSlam. So happy for him, I guess. Yeah.
Since we covered Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns already, do you have any words about QB1 meeting QB1, Cody
Oh,
Rhodes interviewing Tom Brady?
I mean, I'll watch it when it's on YouTube. I mean, I mean, Tom Brady's a obviously mega famous name to get to do this. I think he has
Oh
his
yes.
doesn't he have like some kind of ownership of Fanatics in this whole thing, or I don't know.
It would not surprise me. That man seems to have fingers in a whole lot of pots. So
Yeah,
I'm not
so
sure, but also if it's true, I'm unsurprised.
yeah, so but yeah, that again, it's whatever. I mean, the whole QB1 thing has probably been a detriment to Cody, really, because it's so easy to make fun of and so easy to just kind of roll your eyes at. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Just not, it's
it,
just one of those things about
especially
Cody
in a
that's made things rougher for him as a face.
look at the company. Like there's a lot of different faces, my
He's not
man.
even the champ anymore. A good
So
QB1, a good QB1 can hold on to his winning record. Hold on, wins multiple super.
He's definitely had more losses than Roman Reigns. We could definitely put it that way.
He definitely has.
You know, Roman's obviously had some key losses and not had a championship for a while, but he also has not really eaten a whole lot of L's in between then and now either. And Cody has at least eaten two because he's lost a championship on two different occasions at this point.
Three.
Three? Oh,
It
jeez.
is three. Yeah. It is three. It is
Oof.
three now. Yeah. That.
One last thing to talk about on my end here. I don't believe that you watched AEW Collision this week, sir.
No, I did not. No.
I was quite amused by the opening segment with one Adam Hangman Page. The fact that he came back on Collision is something. Not quite sure why you make that choice when you've. This is definitely a secondary show. Like
Yeah.
there's less parity between Raw and SmackDown than there is between Dynamite and Collision.
Yes, that is true. They were to be fair, they were in his hometown. So they were so
Oh yes, they were in Roanoke, Virginia. There's a reason they brought him back there. One of the reasons, though, that I just had to talk about this, it almost felt like the Chris Jericho reading of 101 Holds.
Thousand
Because
four holes. Thousand four. It was a 1,004. 1,004
four.
holes. Yes.
Just because Adam Page is like, well, I can't challenge for the championship. I don't care that, it sucks, or, it's great that Kenny has it. Can I find purpose? And, he rambles through things, and then he comes to the point, he's like, hell yeah, I can keep on going at it. And then he starts listing all of the championships that he can go after. And that's why it felt like 1,004 holds. As my mother would have called it, it sounded like the listing of the Litany of the Saints. This part of the segment went on for so long. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I know that we make fun of them having too many championships, but again, like, it's one of those. Sometimes when people say it out loud on the microphone within a promo,
Yeah.
it has a little more resonance
It
to
things like that do. Or last Wednesday
it.
on Dynamite when the parade of the secondary championships belts came out. I think there were like back-to-back segments where like all the male there are what is it now? There are four male singles championships underneath the world championship now at this point.
Yeah,
Not
there's
even including any of the ROH or anything other CMLL or New Japan titles. It's
because it's
that appear on TV.
international, national,
TNT,
continental,
Continental, and
TNT.
TNT. Yes.
Yeah, so there's four championships under the main championship. Like you said, without counting the ROH championships that pop up all the time.
Yeah, that's insane. And none of them really differentiate from each other, especially anymore. I mean, other than the Continental, because they do the tournament every year that the title can just change in this weird round robin tournament. But other than
And
that, it's 11 months out of the year, it's defended like any normal championship. There's no special qualifications. There's no weight
yeah,
limits. There's nothing.
remember
What?
there no one's allowed at ringside, sir. That's what makes the Continental special.
It okay. Within the body of the matches, yes, that and the 20 count, yes. Those are
Oh.
real. Those are things that I guess differentiate that, but not how you're qualified for the win for
Oh.
title match. So
Correct.
everyone
Yeah,
is
correct.
a everyone from the smallest to the largest can just compete for any of the five championships in this company. Four of them are beneath the world championship, and there's very little parity. There actually no. There's only parity. They have exact parity between them. There's no
Yes.
think the TNT championship because it's got the
Well,
legacy, because it's got the longer period of time existing, should
you
feel
know
like the bigger
what?
one.
I'll give it to the Continental Championship right now, just because Jon Moxley has
Yes, exactly.
it.
Moxley
I
is
would put that above
yes.
the other three, and the other threes might be at equal parity now. Because yeah, I can't. I couldn't. Cause, and I aren't those the three championships that are in the Don Callis family? The ones that are
Yes, they're
all
all in the
within
Don
the
Callis
same
family. Yes,
parity?
Kevin Knight
Has
holds
he has
one.
three
Kyle,
mediocre championships in his
was it?
stable?
Yeah, he has a three.
Yeah,
Yeah,
because
yes,
Kyle
because.
or yeah, Kevin Knight is the TNT champion. What's his name? The Australian guy, Kyle
Mark
Fletcher.
Davis. Kyle
Oh
Fletcher
yeah, I
has.
forgot they're both Australian. But I was thinking Kyle Fletcher
Well, I don't
is
think Mark Davis
the.
is Australian, is he?
Yes.
Okay, that's right. He is one of those guys. He's one. He's
Yeah,
right. He's one of those guys
he
who
was
came
part
in.
of the United Empire.
Yeah, that's right. He turned
So,
against Asprey. Okay, yeah.
but yeah, he turned against and why do I keep on blanking on his name? I just remember Kyle Fletcher at some point, but now they're buddy buddy again. Now that they're in the Don Callis family,
Yeah, because they were all in
together.
that group with Asprey. That's right. Wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, because
Yes.
Asprey and Asprey
This is
and
all
Fletcher
old English
had a pretty
colonies.
big feud last year. Yeah, okay. Now it all kind of runs together. But yes, the three singles championship, other singles championships are all in the Don Callis family.
And they're all equal at each other. 'Cause yeah, it's the inter yeah, 'cause Kyle Fletcher is international. Is he international? Or is that what
He's an yeah, no, he's
Mark
an
Davis?
he would be international then, yes.
Yeah. And Mark
He
Davis must be
is
national.
national. So technically Kyle Fletcher is above Mark Davis because he's got the international championship, not just the national championship.
Yeah, and I mean, Kyle Fletcher really did want the TNT championship. I guess if we're trying to separate them out, like Kevin Knight really is the kind of the top dog over there currently. Really, 'cause Kyle Fletcher wanted that, and then just Takeshita was needed to go to the G1, so
And then
he gifted
somewhere in the
him a
background,
championship.
and then now somewhere in the background of this gigantic group is arguably the greatest Japanese wrestler of his generation, Kazuchika Okada. Just kind of standing there now with these goofballs.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do now that John Moxley has taken his title from him.
Yeah.
Kazuchika Okada just wanting to say, cause what's I mean, it's something stereotypical that he still says, and he just gives you the finger, oh, bitch, and then
Yeah,
gives you the finger. Like that's all he wants to do.
he's Funaki now. Yeah, that's great.
Okie doke. Well, that was the one thing. I just wanted to talk about Adam Page coming back
Yes,
there.
yes.
I thought it was an
That
easy
was newsworthy.
topic to talk
Yes, it was a
about
new topic.
without
Yes.
getting too deep into Collision itself, really.
We really didn't get deep into Collision, just got deep into the insane title such men's championship situation that exists in AEW.
Oh, man. Bell time beer for the show. I am getting ready to travel here, so I am excited. Already planning some stops at breweries on our way to Maryland here in the recent future. But before then, I am really getting to the bottom of what I have here. And this is stuff I've talked about before. The double direwolf at barrel aged Imperial Stout. This is one of their anniversary Wolf's Ridge anniversary beers, and it's our Imperial Stout aged in high bank double oaked whiskey barrels, and this is a very delicious dark beer. Wolf's Ridge Brewing here in Columbus, Ohio, make some absolutely delicious beers, and should you find yourself in town here, A, their food is tasty, B, their beer is tasty, so there is not one reason not to stop in there. And they just recently started redoing their fire roasted pizzas, which are just absolutely delicious. And yeah, so if you're in Columbus, or if you find Wolf's Ridge Brewing anywhere around Ohio, I highly suggest buying it. So Bell Time beer suggestion from Matt DeFrank 11. Rate and the brand is at Sun Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.